And Mondesi cranks it deep to left center field. It is gone and into the water.
Let's go, Royals. Okay, good. Haven't been able to do that for a long time. Six-game losing streak is done. Gone. Hallelujah. Allows the Royals to start another six-game losing streak. The Royals win over the Chicago Cubs. And Heath Fehlmeyer, this time the bullpen doesn't blow it. He should have had his first Major League win a few weeks ago. He gets his first career win last night. He was very impressive. And, I mean, he just was fantastic last night, was Fehlmeyer. And there's a reason why you get excited, perhaps, a little bit about what the Royals might be able to do. Of course, Adalberto Mondesi, you might know him as Raul Mondesi Jr., but he goes by Adalberto, hit the big home run just a moment ago. You heard that. And the Royals win. They whitewash the Cubbies 9-0. And Fehlmeyer gets the Salvi splash after the game. I must say, Salvi's probably in better physical condition than he's been in a long time because he hasn't had to do a lot of those lifting the Gatorade bucket and throwing the water Gatorade on the star player of the game. But Fehlmeyer was very good last night, and the Royals finally got some offense going. And here's Fehlmeyer on his first Major League win.
Yeah, I mean, this is a special one right here, especially do it at home, you know, to get your first win in front of all these fans, man. It's great. It's an unbelievable feeling right now. That meant the most to me. I mean, you know, be able to have the trust in your manager to go out there and get that last out is huge. You know, the last time against Detroit, I did that same thing, and it was on ended up being on the other side, you know. But it felt good to finally get that, you know, that out, you know, after coming out and him trusting you to be able to finish it. So it was great.
Fehlmeyer, first Major League victory, goes 7 innings, strikes out 3, walks 2, scatters just 3 hits, and at one point retired 20 batters in a row without giving up a hit. His ERA is now 3.13. And McCarthy and Peralta finish it out with scoreless 8th and 9th innings. And the Royals only give up 3 hits in the game. They score 2 in the second, then the 3-run homer that you heard. They score 4 in the 8th, and the Royals pull away to win. And it's good to see Brett Phillips back in a lineup because, you know, Ned wouldn't want to have him play against a left-handed pitcher. So he sat 2 straight games out. I'm like, you know what? You just require Brett Phillips. And this is a guy you really wanted. Play him every day. I mean, how are you going to know if he can hit left-handed? I mean, is he going to be a platoon player the rest of his career? That's one thing I don't. You know, I like Ned, and he drove me nuts before the Royals won the World Series, and he still drives me nuts with some of the things he does. I still can't understand why Escobar plays as much as he does. I can't even explain it. I have no idea if Escobar knows that Ned embezzled money from the Royals organization and had blackmail. I have no idea. And I still don't quite understand why Lucas Duda's on the team still, although maybe they just haven't gotten a good offer in a trade situation and they decided to keep him, although he's not part of the future. At least you wouldn't think so. And so Phillips is back in the lineup, but they have Duda at first. That would have been a good opportunity for, well, but here's the thing. Quintana's a left-handed pitcher. So Phillips played last night, but the previous 2-time games against lefties, he didn't play. And last night he plays, and he's 2-for-3. So why wouldn't he center field the last 2 games? I can't explain what Ned does. And then we got to get Drew Butera in the lineup because, you know, he's tearing it up at hitting 185. So last night, Butera's the catcher and Perez is the DH, and your first baseman is Duda. At least Escobar wasn't in the lineup last night. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
I'll finally give him that. But O'Hearn, apparently, they don't want him to face left-handed pitching. So how are you going to know he's going to be a full-time player if he doesn't get a hit again? Why do we care if he can or they can't right now? We're 35-79. Isn't this the proving ground for the next couple of months? Is let's find out if O'Hearn can hit left and right-handed pitching. Let's go ahead. And, you know, to me, this is pretty simple. Dozier plays third the rest of the year. No Escobar. Dozier plays third the rest of the year. If he's sick, he needs a break. You know, if he's in a big slump, they want to give him a break, fine. He's injured. Late to batting practice, you want to punish him, fine. But Escobar should not be playing at third hardly at all. So put Dozier at third and see if he's going to be the future at third. Now's the time to find out. At first base, put O'Hearn over there and let Duda be a pinch hitter. If you want to have Duda, now I understand they might be thinking, well, we can market him in a non, you know, if he clears waivers, we can trade him. Okay, I understand that, I guess, for a couple more weeks. Maybe that makes some sense. So you got to throw Duda out there every once in a while. Phillips should be your everyday center fielder. I don't care about Rosel Herrera. Sorry, no offense. But I don't think they think so much of him because why would they go get Brett Phillips? If they think Herrera is their center fielder of the future, And if they thought Bubba Starling's the center fielder of the future, why would they go get Brett Phillips? Just for depth in the outfield? Is Phillips going to be the left fielder in the future? And Gordon, after he plays out his contract next year, then Herrera is going to be the center fielder and Phillips the left fielder? I mean, I don't know what the grand plan is. I don't think the Royals know. But you get these guys. Let's see if they can play. You got nothing to lose. You're 35-79, okay? You are 34 games under 500. You almost are as many games under 500 as you have wins. How sad is that? So play Mondesi every day at short. You want to give him one day off a week and let Escobar play short? Okay, I can live with it. But what's the whole thing about Drew Butera having to play first base late? Why? Dozier can play first. O'Hearn can play first. Duda can play first. Whit Merrifield can play first. Why are the Royals trying to shove Drew Butera down our throat in the lineup every day recently? He's going to clear waivers and we're going to get this great haul of prospects for him? Can you explain what the Royals are doing with their lineup? Or should it be, is it Dayton telling Ned? Is this Ned just saying, I'm going to do it my way or the highway because my contract expires at the end of the year and I'm out of here? Is this Ned trying to win a few games to make his overall managerial record a little glossier, even though it is a losing record all time with the Royals because of bad years and then, of course, three or four good years? I just don't understand. To me, it's simple. Mondesi every day at short. Play Witt every day at second. That's what he's going to probably be for you in the future anyway, your second baseman, right? Do we have a second baseman on the horizon in the minors that's going to be a stud?
No.
Okay. First base, let O'Hearn play the rest of the year. Dozier at third, and then catcher, Salvi. And when Salvi needs some time off, that's why you have Butera. He's your backup catcher. Or you let Salvi play DH and Butera catches. You want Butera to be a DH a little bit? That's fine. Butera is not a big part of the future. Center field is Phillips. Right field is Bonifacio. And left field, I would put Herrera or I'd move one of these guys around and let Gordon sit. Gordon's not going to be part of the next playoff team the Royals have. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Gordon's hitting .249, which for him is great. But for a guy getting paid $72 million over 4 years is absolutely the epitome of average. One out of four, .250. That's average player offensively, and that's actually great for him. So why doesn't Gordon sit more often? And if you're going to sit Phillips, if you're going to decide to sit somebody, let's go ahead and let some of the younger guys play. As a Royals fan, I want to see development. I want to see these guys we traded for picked up and see if they can play. Herrera, we picked him up early in the year. Okay, can he play? Can he play every day? Can Phillips play every day? Can Mondesi play every day? Let him play. Hunter Dozier, he's 26. It's time to get off the pot, man. You either going to be a good player, you're not going to be a player here pretty soon, but how are you going to know if he's going to be a good player if you don't allow him to play every day? How does it help a young player to play two games in a week?
It doesn't.
You might as well send him to Omaha and let him play every day.
It definitely doesn't help a guy like Dozier.
No.
I mean,
and they move him and they jerk him around, third base, first base, which he's played outfield before too. I don't have a clear-cut definition of what position he's going to
play. No, they never have.
No, it's kind of like what happened to Mark Tehan, the Royals organization before Dayton Moore, ruined Mark Tehan.
Yeah.
Couldn't decide what he was.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. We all know why Gordon's playing every day, but they need to understand that they lost on that deal.
Oh yeah, that should just fail.
Take him out of the lineup, but they won't. I mean, won't. Even though we see it, even though we know, and everybody watching knows mm-hmm. that the Gordon thing is done. That the contract was terrible. They shouldn't have given it to him, and he's proved that with the way he's hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he's still playing defense and all this, but they won't. A team like that with one more year after this year left on the contract, they're not gonna say that they made a mistake. They're just gonna let it ride out, and I'm gonna guess pay him his money when it's done, give him the $4 million for the buyout and see what happens after that and say I would hope say sayonara or Gordon will say goodbye, I'm done. I'm gonna retire.
Right.
Those are the only two options I want to see with Alex Gordon after next year.
Nobody's going to pick him up. We know that. He's going to be done.
Not for the money. I mean, somebody might take flyer on him, you know, be like a reserve left fielder for him. I mean, I could see somebody doing that, but not.
He's going to play out his contract.
Not getting a lot of money.
He's going to retire.
Yeah. That's what I would expect to happen.
The Royals aren't going to bring him back.
No, the Royals aren't.
Unless it's just an extremely unbelievable cheap deal to be a backup. and he wants to finish career with the Royals. I don't know. You look at the Royals here. Okay, so Rozell Herrera hitting 266, so it's respectable, but only 143 at-bats. So he needs more at-bats to find out if he's going to be a real player for the Royals. Gordon's had 338 at-bats in plenty of years. We know what he does, 249. Brett Phillips got to play last night. He's had 30 at-bats with the Royals. Should have many more than that since he's come over. And Dozier has 211 at-bats, hitting 223. A little bit of pop with five homers. But he needs more at-bats. They just need to play on a more regular basis. And then you got Butera. Suddenly the Royals are trying to get him an incentive bonus so he can get so many at-bats. Well, I don't know what the deal is with the Royals on the whole Butera thing. And I like Drew Butera, and I love his hair as well. But
what's Mondesi got compared to Dozier that you talked about with homers?
Does he have three or four? Mondesi has four and half as many at-bats
exactly.
as Dozier.
So you said a little bit of pop, and I'm sitting thinking...
Mondesi got really good pop.
I'm sitting here like, well, Mondesi's got one less home run and way less at-bats than Dozier's.
He's got 12 stolen bases in 34 games, too. Yeah. So he got speed and the possibility of power, and that's why the Royals have thought for a while he could be a superstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe he still can. He's only 22 or 23.
Yeah, he's young.
The problem with Dozier is he's 26 already. Mondesi hitting 259. And that's why I say just play him every day. I understand giving him a day off. You know, I give him Wednesday off in the middle of the week. Fine, Mondesi.
Yeah.
Let Escobar slide in there. And by the way, if you're thinking Escobar needs at-bats, Escobar's hitting 202. And Escobar has three home runs and 377 at-bats. Mondesi has four homers and 116 at-bats. Mondesi has 14 RBIs and 116 at-bats. And Escobar has 22 RBIs and 377 at-bats. And Mondesi has twice as many stolen bases as Escobar in a third of the playing time.
The way Mondesi's been playing right now.
He should play every day.
There is no reason at all that he's not playing every day.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's... What were we complaining about last year? His bat wasn't there.
Right.
It wasn't ready.
Now his bat's
clearly
out.
His bat is a way better than it was last year, and he's ready to go with that.
Yes.
He's a heck of a lot better than most of the options on the team.
Absolutely.
So get him out there. We know he can play defense. Get him out there and let him play. That's the one that... You can talk about the others all you want, but Mondesi needs to be playing every day.
Absolutely.
And I agree with Phillips, too. And, you said play Phillips, forget Herrera. I'm on forget Gordon, play Herrera
well, that's
and
what
Phillips.
I kind of went
exactly.
to after that.
Exactly,
yes,
and I'm right. with you on that deal there.
Yeah.
It's like, forget Gordon, because I like Herrera. I like some of the things that he mm-hmm. does, and he plays aggressive. And I really like Herrera. Mm-hmm. And if he can become something for the Royals, I'd love to see that.
I agree. Lineup last night was Merrifield leading off, Gordon batting second, Perez was a DH bat at third. So the Royals scored 9 runs on 9 hits. And you know what the top 3 guys in the lineup did last night? They went 0 for 12.
Yeah. Wow.
Dozier was 2 for 3. Bonifacio, 2 for 3, 3 runs scored. Phillips was 2 for 3. What do you know when you put him in the lineup? Mondesi with a 3-run homer, of course. And Butera had a base hit in the 9 spot. So the Royals do win. They're back in action to continue their winning streak. It's not a streak till you win at least 2 or 3. I'm sorry. Win one is not a streak.
Got to win 3.
You got 3. I'm with you. 3, at least 3.
We won a game today.
Yay. The Royals and the Cardinals. Cardinals fighting for their playoff lives in the NL Central. Gomber is on the hill for the Cardinals, and Birch Smith for the hill for KC tonight at 7:15.
That's actually tomorrow night.
Or is it tomorrow? That's right. Yeah. I wish they would show the bye. So yeah. This is one thing at kcroyals.com. Okay, previous
they just
game,
show the next game.
Why
don't they
put
show
today?
What the date is.
They put today off day is what they should put. So they have today off, and then they'll play the Cardinals tomorrow. So thanks for catching that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time for some football. I think a lot of people around here are tired of the baseball stuff because, the Royals aren't very good. Unless you're a Rockies fan, Rockies have done all right. I don't run into a lot of Rockies fans out here. I run into a lot more Bronco fans than I do Rocky fans, but I do like the Rockies as well. The Chiefs' first preseason game is tonight, so how is Andy Reid going to handle the quarterback situation? How many quarters is everybody going to play?
So as far as the game goes, I'll give the quarterbacks each a quarter. And then it kind of follows that way with the ones, the twos, and the threes. There's some fours that'll fall in that fourth quarter there. So, and we'll keep it at that.
Okay, so first preseason game. You have a problem with Mahomes only playing one quarter?
I really don't, because I think he's getting all the reps in practice and everything like that. He comes out and plays a game and plays
a quarter. He's
going to
play with the ones. The ones are going to play first quarter.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
playing with the twos? Probably not.
Yeah. I have more of a problem with the guy playing at the back.
The fourth string?
Yeah.
Guy.
It's well, like, why don't you just play McGloin and Henny and see who you want? Because I'm guessing they're probably pretty close to who's going to be the backup.
Yeah.
So let's just see what they're going to do, and let's reserve that time for them just in case something happens to Mahomes and they're ready to go with the offense.
Andy does this every year, and and I think it's just basically throwing the guy a bone, the fourth-string quarterback.
Yeah.
And odds are he won't play the whole fourth quarter. He'll probably play the last couple series. I would guess McGloin will probably play a series in there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is the second preseason game, I think you're going to see typically what Andy does is there's no fourth-string quarterback out there. It's going to be more of what you're talking about. But I'm with you. Every rep should be important. And to me, if you've got a competition between a second-string quarterback and Mahomes has an injury history at Texas Tech, if you're not sure who your backup quarterback is, now maybe they are. Maybe they feel great about
it. And they could be. He might be just miles ahead of McGloin right now.
Could be. It might be, and maybe that's why you're doing it. But if you're not sure, then use every single rep on guys that you know are going to be on the football squad. I mean, do we think the Litton quarter kid is going to be the quarterback? The Chiefs aren't going to carry four quarterbacks.
I'm no.
Pretty confident. Sometimes you don't even carry three, by the way. Speaking of, we'll get the Chiefs again in a moment. Speaking of quarterbacks, did you see the Chase Daniel video?
I did.
Former Chief quarterback. He's a backup quarterback who has thrown not very many passes but made $78 million in his career. So God bless Chase Daniel.
He got the best gig ever.
Oh, he has the best gig ever. Next to Vanna White, next best gig ever. So he went. He didn't even go undercover. He just put on a bucket hat on his head, and he went around in a jersey. Was it Trubisky jersey?
It was a Trubisky jersey.
Yeah. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bears. He was a top draft pick a year ago. And Matt Nagy, who is was the Chiefs offensive coordinator in name only, basically, because Andy was calling the shots most of the time. He's the new head coach of Chicago Bears, so watch the Bears win the Super Bowl this year. That's how it works. Trubisky is the first-string quarterback. Chase Daniel is a backup like he's been his whole career. Doesn't get to play much, but makes a lot of moolah. So he decided to put on this bucket hat, wear a Mitchell Trubisky jersey at Bears training camp, and then he went amongst the crowd getting autographs. And, like, none of these players knew it was Chase. Now, at times, he would put up the piece of paper and the clipboard so he'd cover his face a little bit. And so Trubisky didn't even – he got Trubisky to sign his jersey.
I love it. The end, he gets all done with it. He's like, who was that? And then he finds out, and he just
starts rolling.
Cody Whitehair was one of them from K-State toward the end of it. He recognized him before it was all done.
Josh Bellamy did, and Chase like, no. You know?
Thanks for ruining it.
Yeah. And then Matt Nagy came up. I don't know if he knew.
It was
because when
so
you're signing autographs, you usually have your head down a little bit. You're not making direct eye contact with the people because there's so many. And so you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, here, I'll sign it. And Chase Daniels just not even that. He doesn't have a disguise. He just has a bucket hat on. That's it.
Yeah. Sunglasses. Yeah.
There was one that never even looked at him. And he's like, what position? You played in the game today? Yeah. He wasn't even looking. He was looking down the whole time. Didn't even think about looking.
Chase, like, what position you play? Did you play the other day? That was a defensive lineman, I think. Yeah, I played. Oh, okay. it was pretty funny. Okay, so the Chiefs game tonight, pregame is at 6 o'clock. Houston Texans versus the Chiefs. You'll see, is Watson going to play first quarter tonight? Is he going to play tonight? After he tore his ACL?
Honestly, I haven't looked enough at what the Texans are doing.
Yeah, I'm more worried about the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Okay, so we know everybody, for the most part, any Chiefs fan tuning in tonight, they're going to be tuned in at the beginning of the broadcast for the kickoff at 7. Why? Because they want to see Patrick Mahomes play. We know that. Let's just save ourselves a lot of time. Let's move on to what's the next big thing that Chiefs fans should be watching out for. My question on Facebook last night on the Sports Ticket Facebook page was, what should the Chiefs fans pay most attention to during the game tonight other than Patrick Mahomes? So I'll let you answer the question, then I'll try to answer it.
Is there any sign that it was actually a personnel problem on defense the coach?
That's exactly where I'm going to
I mean, that's what I'm looking at, and specifically the defensive backfield for me because of everything we've talked about with their lack of what we feel is quality depth at those positions.
For me, I agree with you, except I'm going to go further. It's the entire defense. It's the entire defense. I'm not focused on the secondary. I'm focused on first, all of it is everything.
Yeah.
And because first of all, think about the problems the Chiefs had last year. Their problems weren't on offense, except when they shut it down second half of a playoff game.
They were their own worst enemy on that.
But the defense can stop the run. That's where I start. I want to see if the Chiefs can slow down the run tonight. Can they slow down the run? Because the Chiefs can't stop the run game. It doesn't matter on a pass rush or the secondary. I mean, quite honestly. So you got to stop the run. Second, if you get them into second, third, and long, are you going to get a pass rush without blitzing? That's what I want to see with Houston and Ford and Pastenow and whoever else. And Speaks. I want to see what Speaks does at linebacker. I want to see Hitchens at linebacker, who we picked up as a free agent. So linebacker core is a little bit different, especially turned over from the beginning of last year. You got Raglan, of course, that came on last year. And then the secondary, I agree with you. I want to see what Amerson does, although I'm kind of scared to see what he does. Steven Nelson, who's had a really good training camp so far, and he's healthy. I've been hearing the excuses. The reason he struggled last year is all the injuries. Could be. We'll find out. And then Kendall Fuller, of course, the new acquisition. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do? Eric Berry. Is Berry going to play tonight?
I think so.
Okay. So Berry. So there would be one to watch is how Berry's going to be.
I would guess he plays a lot, but
I'm trying to see here if there's anything on Berry. Of course, the rookies. I mentioned Speaks. Naughty, is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah.
The defensive tackle they got, and I would be going back to trying to slow down the run. You know, the other place you want to look, perhaps, would be wide receiver behind Tyreek Hill. You know, DeMarcus Robinson, Conley back, Byron Pringle. There might be others I'm missing here in the fray. That might be a spot you look at. But your offensive starters are only going to play the first quarter tonight. They're going to more than likely have two series, and that'll be it. For me, it's all about what you just said. Is this problem for the Chiefs, is it Bob Sutton or is it personnel? The Chiefs in the offseason decided it was not Bob Sutton, it was personnel. They changed a lot of things, and I think it's Bob Sutton. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I think we all think it's Bob Sutton. Hopefully we're all wrong. I would love to be proven wrong because that means the Chiefs are going to have a good defense and it was a personal issue and perhaps Marcus Peters couldn't play both sides of the field, which I still find that hard to believe. But, okay, so let's say he couldn't handle all the terminology and playing both sides of the field, so now they've got guys that can flip sides of the field. Okay, fine, although now we don't have a shutdown corner, and we did with Marcus Peters. That's what I'm really interested in tonight is more on the defensive side. There's no question I'm going to be glued to see what Mahomes does on every single play.
Sure.
That's a given because he is your new starting quarterback, and I'd be glued to him whether it's, you know, Alex Smith in his first year coming over as a free agent or a trade, you know? I mean, whoever the new quarterback is,
exactly.
I don't care if it's Mahomes or a 35-year-old guy, you know, Joe Montana, coming back when he's 60. I'd be glued to what's happening there. The backup, Damian Williams, I'm interested in seeing him at running back tonight. I would guess Spencer Ware is probably not going to do much tonight, if anything, coming off the torn ACL. But the defense is going to be where about 80% of my focus is tonight. Now, if they go out and they can't stop the run, they can't rush the passer, and they're bad in the secondary, does that mean the Chiefs' defense is going to be horrible this year? Maybe. But they could also go out and look great. Does that mean they're really improved?
No.
Because the Texans are going to have a vanilla-type of offense, I guarantee you. And we're not going to truly know if the Chiefs' defense is better or not until probably, honestly, week one or, give it some time, week four or five. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Because what are we really going to learn in preseason? I think we're going to learn some of the athletes they have in different positions, the free agents they picked up, as I mentioned, the acquisition they made with Kendall Fuller, and then the rookies. That's what you're going to see. New guys, new numbers, new faces. What do they bring to the table? Then I'm not going to be all over the Chiefs tomorrow morning if the Chiefs defense, you know, gives up 300 yards rushing. I'm not going to overly panic about it because they're trying to get guys in certain spots to see who plays where in this. But if we're in week four and they give up 300 yards rushing, yeah, you're going to hear a lot of complaining probably the day after the game. So you got to allow a training camp to be what it is and preseason games to be what they are. It's called practice. They're exhibition games. If Mahomes goes out tonight and throws three picks in the first quarter, that's not going to look good. Going to be bad. A lot of people are going to start going, okay, Mahomes isn't the answer. Should you overreact like that? No.
Oh, I think you should.
No, of course you do. You're a Bronco fan.
It's the end of the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, if Mahomes goes out there and doesn't play well tonight, I'm not going to put a lot of stock in it. But I guarantee a lot of people are going to overreact.
I'll overreact if he throws three picks if he's only playing one quarter. I mean.
I'm not. And here's
why. I won't overreact here's
why.
Most fans
if two of those interceptions are receivers that can't catch the ball and deflect
Patrick Mahomes' fault? I mean, depending on how it happens, for sure. But
now, if he throws three pick sixes.
They're clear mistakes. And it's not on the receiver, and he's like running across the field and throwing over the middle, you know, running to the sideline, throwing across his body over the middle of the field, and they're all three like that. And then I'm going to be like, all right, let's get this in check here, Pat.
Well, you heard it here first. I'm calling Mahomes, get three picks first quarter. And then watch him go out, you know, and not throw a pick till week six of the NFL season. Yeah. Because that's how we just overreact too much. But yes, that would be a very bad first quarter. All of a sudden, he might become check down Charlie. And Andy says that's not what we want to do here, but we shall see. All right, so Chiefs and the Texans tonight. It's the first preseason game of the year. Pregame at 6 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake. Have you read up on the college basketball rules changes?
I know the basics of it. I didn't read, like, in depth a lot, but I did hear about the new rules.
All right. At CBSSports.com, NCAA makes major overhaul to rulebook in wake of the FBI probe in regards to college athletics, specifically college basketball, getting a significant rulebook makeover. The FBI's investigation into sports cricket recruiting practices primarily why the NCAA announced on Wednesday widespread sweeping changes to college basketball's bylaws, its recruiting calendar, and an evolutionary step forward, new legislation that gives more entitlements to student-athletes. Here are the biggest changes. All players who get invited to the NBA Combine but go undrafted will have the option to return to their former school. Elite prospect. This, the second one's really interesting. Elite prospects. Let me stress this. Elite prospects will now be allowed to have official relationships with agents. This applies to high schoolers and college athletes alike. USA Basketball, in conjunction with NCAA, will be tasked with identifying which prospects in a given class are elites. In regard to high school athletes, however, the rules will not go into effect until the NBA changes its current age limit rule. Let's stop with that one, the second one. Is there going to be a cut line as to how many athletes in a class are elite? How do you determine? I mean, that right there to me, that's just like so open-ended.
That's the first thing I said yesterday.
Because as soon as you, as soon as if you're a, and they said it's going to be identified with, let's see here.
By USA, USA Basketball.
How is USA Basketball, I mean, what are they going to do, sit and watch a whole bunch of high school game tape? Oh, he's elite. Everybody has a different opinion on what's elite, right?
Yeah.
So how are you going to, and how, is it fair, like one kid might be elite and he didn't have a great tape or something? I mean, and now he can't have an agent? I mean, why don't they just let all of them have agents?
Yeah.
If you're going to let the elite have agents, why can't everybody have agents? I don't get that part.
Yeah, and I don't either, but like I was telling Chad, we were kind of talking about that part a little bit yesterday off air, and it's like USA Basketball has their, you know, they're under 17 or under 19 teams or whatever, and I'm guessing they use all of their resources that they have there to try to find guys to play on that team on the, and I'm guessing that's where they can have the all the stuff gathered together that they need to determine who's elite. I don't like it. I'm just saying that's probably where USA Basketball comes in. USA Basketball yesterday says they were blindsided by it. They had no idea it was coming. It was like,
how sad is that?
Okay. Did you talk to them before you said they were going to be the ones that determined who the elite players
were?
The
NCAA didn't do something right.
It was just like, are you serious here? I know you got to make changes, but seriously, you might want to like go over this with USA Basketball before you officially release all this new stuff that's going to happen.
I don't know how. Frank Franchella said it's only going to apply to 5%. He said, what about the 95% of the other athletes that want to go play college ball? He goes, this only applies to 5%.
Well, what I don't understand about it, I guess, is that would it not be fair to consider a player elite if teams want to draft them? I mean, if you're going to play professional basketball, if you're going to play in the NBA, you would be considered at some level to be an elite basketball player. To be in the, you know, versus the people, the number of kids that play college ball versus the number that play NBA basketball, you'd have to be considered elite at some level to make an NBA team, to get drafted and make a team. So, you know, why are agents going to want to mess with anybody that's not a potential elite?
Right.
Or that isn't an elite player.
See, to me, that would take care of itself.
You know, they're going to that should sort itself out.
Exactly.
The scouts are going to determine who's elite or not based on who and the agents.
And the agents.
Based on who they want to try to get to.
So why is USA Basketball
got to be
involved?
Yeah, why do they even bother with this?
It's just dumb.
If you want to say then elite prospects will be allowed to have official relationships with agents, that should be considered anybody that an agent wants to have a relationship with.
That's what I'm saying. If an agent comes up to Dusty and says, you know, no offense, Dusty, but if they want to get all crazy thinking Dusty's the next thing since sliced bread and he's going to make it and be a great player and they consider him elite, it's just one guy's opinion, one agent's opinion, but that person has the right to that opinion. So if he declares that I want to have a relationship and I want to have Dusty as my client, why should Dusty be not allowed because USA Basketball says not? Well, wait a minute, an agent thinks I'm elite.
Right.
Why can't I have an agent? These other guys do. What's it going to hurt?
Right. And here we go with sliced bread again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was another off-air conversation Chad and I had yesterday. What's so great about sliced bread?
I don't know.
You have a loaf of bread, you have a knife, cut it.
Put some jam on it. The NCAA, here's the other ones. The NCAA is requiring all school presidents, chancellors, and athletic staff members to contractually comply with any and all future investigations. This is NCAA's way of trying to institute a de facto version of subpoena power, which it lacked previously. Probably makes sense. School presidents and chancellors will now personally be held accountable by the NCAA for their athletic departments abiding by the rules. Gee, that's a little late to the party, isn't it?
Well, we didn't have accountability before.
Wow.
Apparently not.
Obviously not. The FBI's case into college basketball brought about mounds of documents of information. Previously, the NCAA did not allow for information and findings from outside investigations and established agencies to be used in its infractions process. Effective immediately, the NCAA and its committee on infractions can use information obtained in other probes as a means to an end for its own investigations. This will be implemented immediately by the NCAA with the schools currently caught up in the Department of Justice's case regarding multiple schools and alleged violations of multiple federal laws. And I would say to that, duh.
Right.
Somebody's already done the work, but we can't use it. Now we got to spend a whole bunch of money. Of course, the NCAA has money. But it goes on our own people to go do the work, but we don't have as many people to investigate this. You wonder why things like, oh, there's a scandal in the UNC, North Carolina gets slapped on the wrist. And all these big scandals pop up, and all of a sudden the NCAA is talking about ethics, which is ironic because they're not ethical. And they go around, like, we don't have enough people to police this. Of course not. Well, use the people, use your own federal government, the FBI, for crying out loud. If they've got documents that can help you come to a conclusion, once again, duh. Save yourself a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just...
If four people ask Dusty the same question and Dusty gives the same answer every single time, do I need to call Dusty up and waste a phone call and ask him the same question? I already know it's been answered four times the same way.
Right.
That's wasting
my time. I wouldn't think so, but whatever.
I just don't even know where to go with all that stuff because it's like...
NCAA is just... I think.
And then you just add the whole... USA Basketball doesn't want to do this. You're just adding more to it is what we're doing this morning. We knew about all the other stuff.
They make it more complicated.
And now you're just adding more to it. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Like, what do you
– I don't
– It's almost like they sent some of the ranking members of the NCAA to a common sense conference. And you can see by these rules, the changes they put out here –
They fell asleep during that conference.
They kind of grasped the concept, but there's still some things that they need to iron out as far as their policy.
Yeah, they got a long way to go.
You're saying
they should go to another conference?
Yeah, I'm thinking they should go to a couple more.
I agree with you.
Another
change, the recruiting calendar is detailed, is getting a major overhaul. In a first, college coaches will be allowed to attend the NBA Players Association Top 100 camp each June. Also, the first live period of July will be attendable for non-scholastic events. Other changes include harsher punishments, such as postseason bans on programs that can last up to 5 years, potential lifetime show causes for level one violations from coaches, and suspensions for head coaches that can last more than a year. Let's see if there's anything else that's noteworthy. Here's what the NCAA said. This week, we delivered on a promise made just months ago to make profound and meaningful changes to college basketball. Ultimately, these decisions will support the success of student athletes both on and off the court.
Blah, 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 blah.
Of course it will. what else we got here? The coaches were hoping that the NCAA would allow for low-level staff members like operation directors and video coordinators to be able to do on-court skill instruction. Instead, nothing. One prominent college coach told CBS Sports it's incomprehensible. Dozens of coaches contacted by CBS Sports expressed cynicism as to whether new legislation could realistically affect how much cheating happens in the sport. Multiple sources told CBS Sports that the NABC and the Rice Commission were prepared for blowback on some of its recommendations, but those parties had planned to push forward regardless of an inevitable backlash from the college coaching fraternity at large. Nevertheless, when news leaked in July about a potential set of rule changes on the docket with the recruiting calendar, the NCAA and its working group representatives listened to some criticism, made alterations, and so forth and so on. All the rule changes put forth on Wednesday go into effect retroactively as of August 1st, 8 days ago, or will be implemented beginning in 2019, as the calendar indicates. So those are latest changes, and I don't know how impactful they really are. It seems to me, maybe this is an unfair analogy, but to me, what the NCAA does is they wait. This is my analogy. They wait. They'd be like a doctor in a hospital. You know, they have a patient, and instead of treating the patient, they're just going to wait till that patient gets really sick. And when that patient gets really sick, they're not going to give them, they've got the medicine to really make them feel better, but in order to keep them in the hospital a little bit longer and bill a little bit longer, we're just going to go ahead and give the bare minimum of medicine that they need just to, you know, make them feel good enough to where they don't die. But you're still in the hospital. Does that make any sense, what I'm trying to say there? It's like we could really give them an antidote to make them feel great and go ahead and send them on the way sooner. We can make things a lot better for college athletes and student athletes and the landscape of college basketball in general and college athletics in general. We could do all of this. But that really seems to be too much work.
Yeah.
Or we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
The crazy thing is, like, they're...
To me, these are Band-Aids.
Yeah. I was kind of on that blindsided thing, reading that, you know, the NBA is blindsided and all this. And I don't feel as bad for the NBA as I do for USA Basketball,
right,
for not knowing that they're the ones that are going to determine this. I'm sure College Hoops was blindsided when the NBA put in their dumb rule that says you have to be a year out of high school to go to college, to go to the NBA.
Thank you for saying that, because I've never understood what the college basketball owes the NBA and what the NBA owes college basketball.
They're two separate
institutions.
I don't care that the NBA is blindsided by college basketball with their rules. But college basketball is clearly stating that some of these won't go into effect until the NBA changes their rules. And the NBA has been talking about changing their rules for a couple years now.
Done it.
And they just need to figure out how they're going to do it and when they're going
to
do it.
Well, that allows you to pass the buck, right?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, well, I would do that
fault.
If I was college. You know,
the NBA hasn't got on. They haven't hurried up and got their thing.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, if I'm trying to fix something in college basketball, and I know that when the NBA decides to get off their behinds and decide to make that change back to what it was, to where high school kids can come out and come to the NBA right away, then I would probably put that kind of rule in too if I was the NCAA. You know, pending what the NBA does, this is what's going to happen. So this is not, like you said, a lot of these rules can't even go into effect until that happens. And it's interesting. And the other day I was watching that documentary that they did called Soul Man, the 30 for 30 thing. And one thing that we don't understand is the reason they're doing this is because of all the controversy with the shoe companies and all that is part of it.
Right.
And I never really put that together until I was watching that documentary about shoe executives were in high school gyms.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not they're not supposed to be, because by the NCAA rules, you can't take money for a shoe endorsement when you're going to the school. Now, the coaches are getting all kinds of money from those places. But they changed the game with people like Kobe and T-Mac back in the day, where they went into high school gyms, Adidas and Nike, and these people were signing people in a high school gym because they knew Kobe, T-Mac, those guys weren't going to go to college.
Right.
So those are the guys that they targeted, and now those are the guys they're still targeting, but they're trying to do it under the table. So, hey, play a year and then sign with Adidas. This is what's going on.
Right.
And so they're still there, and that's where the problem came in, is they didn't want to leave high school gyms. Mm-hmm. They wanted to have those guys ready when they had their insane 1 year that they have to play in college.
Yeah, that's the one big part of that, the one-and-done rule.
Exactly.
Messed that up.
So now that's why the NCAA can pass that buck, too, because they're like, it's not our problem. We didn't create this.
Right.
We're not the ones that said you have to be a year out of high school before you can go to the pros.
Yep.
It's not our fault.
Right.
So I don't feel bad for the NCAA or for the NBA when the NCAA does this. Kind of passes the buck to the NBA, because honestly, it's the NBA's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NBA's fault that the problem came about.
Yep.
And I don't think they understood that. They were just worried about the development of the kids when they came in and where they'd be skill-wise. They didn't think about all the other stuff that was going to happen with it. They didn't care about the other stuff that was going to happen with it. I mean, and that's natural for the NBA.
Because they don't have to police it.
Yeah, and that's natural for the NBA, too. They don't owe anything to the NCAA.
They don't.
I mean, neither one of these organizations or associations owes either one anything.
They really don't.
But, I mean, other than the fact that NCAA football, basketball, baseball, they're all preparing you to go to the next level and to that next league or association.
But if they want to clean it up, they need to work together.
Exactly.
And whether or not they will or not. But when you just not, hey, USA Basketball has this, whoa, what, what? Apparently not working together.
And they're saying, like, we don't even want to do that. Like. We don't
so
want
how do you implement a change like that if a particular entity isn't willing to do it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you make sure they would be willing to do that before you put that out there to the public? Oh, wait a minute. It's NCAA. Of course you wouldn't. Man. 9:53 is our time. 74 degrees on a Thursday, August 9, 2018. Chiefs preseason opener tonight. 6 o'clock pregame with Mitch and Lynn and Danny and Kendall and the whole gang. They're back for another Chiefs season. Should be an exciting year. If you want to hear the Broncos, ask Chad. I have no idea how you listen to the Broncos broadcast. Maybe somewhere in Kansas. I know that out in Western Kansas, there's affiliates of the Broncos.
There's actually an affiliate in Salina.
Oh, there you go.
Has been for 2 years.
There you go. If you're a Bronco fan, go ahead.
I don't remember what it is.
Be a traitor. Listen to a Salina station. Of course, Chad would say, well, we just could carry the Broncos, and that would be all right, too.
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have any NFL on 94.1.
We just don't have... Just don't quite have enough Bronco following to make that work. Unless we find one really filthy rich Bronco fan, then I'll sell out. 9:54 is our time, 74
I'll start
degrees.
Hunting sponsors.
Okay, but you work on that. Hey, you know what? There's nobody in this area carrying the Broncos. If we could get a whole bunch of sponsors, I'll carry the Broncos. If we get a whole bunch of sponsors, we'll consider carrying the... Maybe the Yankees. I mean, we would be willing, maybe, if we have enough money coming in to support those institutions that maybe and have enough radio stations, perhaps we would consider those things. I won't rule out any of that stuff. Any of that stuff. All right? If I had somebody come up to me and say, we've got 25 sponsors lined up and they're willing to pay $1,000 a piece to sponsor Pee Wee Baseball. We'll start doing Pee-wee baseball, probably. We've got more time in the summer to do play-by-play, and Dusty will be out and about doing play-by-play of Pee-wee baseball. Dusty's like, great. 950. I said 25 sponsors. I put the number high, Dusty.
At a grand.
At a grand. Oh, wait a minute. I got a text. There's one. There's one. There's one. I need 24 more.
You can be a title sponsor for 10 grand.
No. Title sponsor for 25.
25.
If I got 25 times one.
Or you can be or you can be exclusive and the title sponsor for 25.
For 50. If you want exclusive, that's double. Yeah. I'm making it a little bit harder for it to happen so you don't have to do Pee-wee baseball every single, you know, Tuesday.
I could free up some time in the summer to do some Pee-wee baseball if we had $25,000 sponsor.
I'll easily pass that
off. I can just see how this play-by-play thing's going to go. What is that kid thinking? The caterpillar's going the other way. Because the kid's out there playing with the butterflies, caterpillars. Pee-wee baseball's not quite that low.
Yeah,
but T-ball.
Yeah.
That's where it at. Somebody wants to be a sponsor of T-ball play-by-play. $100,000 title exclusive sponsor. We will do T-ball play-by-play.
I'm going to be sick those days.
Here comes Johnny to the plate.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started on T-ball. It's already
Johnny,
10 o'clock.
Johnny coming to the plate. Johnny, in his pregame routine, pounds the plate 18 times with his bat. And does not take any practice swings because that loosens up his shoulders.
Right.
And here's the swing and a miss. He pounds the plate 19 times.
Right.
Swing.
And plunks the tee.
And then he hits the tee and tops it over. Hold on. Coach has to put the tee upright again.
To get the ball.
And now the swing. And there's a ground ball to second. All the way rolling out to right field. 16 players converge.
Right.
And run the ball home. Throw the ball. Chad, dude, you're not a fan. This is play-by-play. Throw the freaking ball.
Right.
You know, I hear that all the time.
You get into
the
ball.
Throw the ball. The final batter. You want to come up with one of the dumbest rules ever? Run. The final batter in coach pitch and T-ball.
T-ball for
The final batter. Somebody started this, and I have no idea why. It teaches them nothing about baseball. Run the ball all the way to home plate. The ball rolls all the way to the fence. Instead of throwing it to your teammates, no, hog the ball and run all the
way home.
Right. Or you get the deal where you, here's a dribbler.
Here's an idea. Just get an out at one of the bases, and that's what ends the inning instead of worrying about the kid running around the bases.
Yeah. Well, here's a dribbler back to the pitcher's mound. He picks it up, runs it to home plate, and here's the batter around second on his way to third.
He just stands at home waiting for the guy to run the bases.
And then the kid just keeps running.
Yeah.
The other ones are all in the dugout, you know, waiting, getting their bats
out.
You
know what? You know what really actually happens sometimes? I've seen that happen. The kid doesn't get the first, and the pitcher just goes to home, and the kid's like, what's the point of running the bases? He's already there, and he goes to the dugout. Like, make the kid throw it the first and get an out. That's called baseball. How is the kid out when you run home with a comebacker to the mound and you don't throw it the first? The kid made it the first. Teach real baseball.
Well, yeah,
run it home. Run it home. Now, I will admit, when they do throw the ball many times, and this is probably why they run it home. That's where it started. They throw the ball. So Johnny throws it to Jim, then the Jill, and then the Jack. And air, and the ball's all over the place, and it's behind the, it's by the fence at the backstop, and the kid who hit it 6 feet,
right,
makes it all the way around without being out
for an inside the park.
Almost had a play there at the plate, but they missed the third cutoff man.
I can just see Chad and Dusty in play-by-play of T-ball, a little T-ball coach pitch. Well, that's the end of the inning. 8 runs, no hits. 16 errors,
3
left
on. 7
hit batters. It's coach pitch. It's a bad coach. He can't pitch. 7 hit batters.
This guy threw at his kid in the father-son game.
The coach threw 143 pitches in that inning.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time doing that and not channeling the inner Harry Doyle.
To the bottom of the first we go. Jackrabbit 16.
Nah, it's all right. Nobody's
scored
listening.
Scored on a blooper with E7, E4, E3, and then E6. And then he scored.
Well, we're going to call it an inside the park
home run.
Didn't
even get a single. But he scored.
That's all right. Nobody's listening anyway. But we're getting $100,000 for us, so that's why we're here.
So that's all that matters. One defensive lowlight brought to you by, I mean, you'd have all kinds of sponsorship opportunities there, too.
Right.
You know, this moment in time, the timeout to go ahead and chase the squirrel that came onto the field here is brought to you by
Jack Daniels.
Contact them. There's no rule that says we can't have a Jack Daniels sponsor for T-ball, right? Acacia don't have jurisdiction over that.
No, they don't.
So we probably could do that. Oh, it's amazing when great ideas are born. Those are terrific ideas.
The only terrific
for $150,000,
one person Jack Daniels was the only good idea.
Jack Daniels. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Says the guy who can't drink.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But he knows.
You know, my wheels are turning. Let's just do a combined package. $135,000. You can be title sponsor of T-ball and coach pitch and peewee all together. Lump sum combined package. Tremendous buy. Tremendous. You get it all. Save $15,000. $135,000 instead of $150,000. You do the math. That's a 10% or something discount. Okay.
Oh, man.
Wow, that'd be fun. Dusty's sitting there shaking his head going, dude, I do not want to do any more baseball like that during the summer. I just can't do it. Wade, seriously, shut up. Move on. Okay. Have a great day.